Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Tuesday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I am grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, for giving me the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at the email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, @gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Glory be to God. Amen and amen. Thank God for another blessed day, and thank God for all you've been listening and wherever you're listening to me at. Hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, once again, we humble ourselves on this blessed day to come before you, Lord, to acknowledge that you are the all-wise God. You are all-knowing, and no one has a greater knowledge than you have. No one is wiser than you, Lord, nor possess a greater understanding. Therefore, Lord, we depend upon you this day to get us the understanding we stand in need of. So, through your Spirit, we ask that you will bless us with understanding of your word. Father, I pray that this message would go to the ears of those who are seeking truth. Lord, who seeks the truth that comes from you, in Jesus' name. And so, Lord God, I give you glory, I give you honor and praise, and I magnify you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let us go to the book of Acts, chapter 8. The book of Acts, chapter 8. Glory be to God. And we're going to start at verse 29. The book of Acts, chapter 8, starting at verse 29. And the title of this message tonight is, in the form of a question, what hinders baptism from being valid? What hinders baptism from being valid? What makes water baptism legit and acceptable by Jesus Christ? Okay. Or what hinders it from being accepted? We can look at it that way. What hinders it from being accepted by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Amen. Now, I know that this is an important message because there are many today who think that and have overemphasized water baptism. In fact, they have made water baptism salvation. If you would listen to the way some people talk, way they act, that the greatest thing, quote, was not so much as receiving Christ as Lord, but being baptized in water. Hallelujah. Now, in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 29, the Bible said, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot." Now, the Bible is telling us about Philip. Now, Philip started off as a deacon. I think we see this in Acts chapter 6. But it's later called to the office of an evangelist. And the Bible said, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So in other words, Philip didn't go based on his own mind. He didn't go on no one else's orders, but the Spirit of God told him where to go. Amen. And for those of you who's listening, who has the evangelistic type call on your life, be prepared for the Spirit to direct you to go into particular areas, not to go, quote, that you may have a fun day vacation, but to deliver the message of the word of God unto the people. And verse 30 let us know that Philip obeyed. Because we must understand that even though the Lord may tell us to do something and the Spirit of the Lord may bait you or tell you to do something, still you have what is called free moral agency or a free will. You can choose whether to obey God or not. Now, also come with that is consequences. So if you choose, hey, not to obey him, then there's consequences that come with that. But nevertheless, you have a free will. And that free will still exists even when you become a born-again believer. Amen. And so the Bible tells us and let us know in verse 30 that Philip obeyed. For the Bible said, Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Now, one of the things we must understand, number one, it's about obeying the Lord. Now, notice that the Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord told Philip to go near and join thyself to this chariot. But see, that's all he told. Now, some of us, we want to get the whole story from God before we act or do anything. Understand this. The basic number one thing you want to get down pat is knowing that this message from God. If the Lord spoke to you and said, I want you to go down the street to such and such a house, we'll do it. Now, if you got to sit there and say, what for, why, what's the ins and outs about the Lord and all that, if you got to have the whole what they call enchilada before you move, you can be doing a couple of things that are wrong. Number one, you could be starting to offend God. And number two, you're definitely going to be in disobedience. You're going to find yourself, if not, you'd be in disobedience. So the Bible said, Philip ran thither to him, and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And so Philip asked him, said, do you understand what you read? And the Bible tells us that the eunuch, hallelujah, because verse 27 tells us that this man he went to, that the Spirit told him to join himself to, was an Ethiopian eunuch who had great authority under the queen of the Ethiopians. He had a position where he had charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem for to worship. And so now he's reading, hallelujah, and Philip once again is commanded by the Spirit of the Lord to go and join himself to this chariot. Now, that's all the Spirit of the Lord told him. And like I said, the number one thing you want to get down pat is to make sure the word that you're getting is coming from the Lord. And see, our Lord reveals to us so much at a time. You're not going to get, quote, the whole enchilada, as they say. But God reveals so much at the time. God is, he's the God of revelation. And he also, the true Lord that know how to take you through steps to get you to the main point, okay? So rest assured, don't get into a place where if God tell you something, you got to know everything about the everything before you obey. So when Philip asks this Ethiopian eunuch this question, because he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, do you understand what you read? And the Ethiopian eunuch says, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Listen, the Lord is finna get ready to send Philip's. Those with evangelistic type calls, those who are getting prepared in him, he finna send you to people who stand in need. Now, some of you may be dealing with people who you're trying to give the word of God to, trying to teach, and they doing this and doing that, everything to avoid. They playing games, they this and that. Don't worry. Because some of you have prayed, said, Lord, you didn't tell me to force your word on anybody. And Lord, these people don't want to hear. They don't want to listen. They don't think I can give them the word. Lord, send me to someone or some people that wants to hear the word. And guess what? Jesus is going to do that. Because I'm here to tell you, our Lord is long-suffering. But if you put him off too long, you can be in trouble. And God is not going to be putting up with people just trying to put him off forever. You have a particular time. And therefore, time is an essence in this dimension that we live in. Because soon Christ is returned. But before he returns, there's things that has to happen. Okay? Amen. So, unto those of you that's listening who maybe God has a person there to give you the word and you're not paying attention, you don't think this person can give you the word, the way you're acting towards them, and all that, understand this, that the Lord will send this person to people that is willing to hear. You hear what I'm saying? And so the Bible said that this eunuch, he said, how can I understand unless some man got me? In other words, he's letting Philip know, say, I don't understand. How can I understand? I need help. And so he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. You know, even though sometimes people need help, they won't tell you or they won't receive help from you. This man was willing to receive help from Philip. In fact, as we read this, nowhere have I seen that this man asked Philip, who are you? Amen. Or he didn't have to have Philip's resume, okay, before he answered, or his resume before he told. So he desired that Philip would come up and sit with him. And the Bible said the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb dumb shearer, like a dumb and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Now that's interesting. Why did it that the writer of Acts made sure we knew exactly what this eunuch was reading? Because what this eunuch was reading was concerning Christ and how important it is of what he did for man. That is the greater importance, people, than the water baptism. Is receiving, accepting, acting upon, and letting this word transform your life into a new living concerning what Christ did. That's the greater importance than you being dumped into water. Now, some of you hear me say this and you say, wait a minute. Wait 1 minute. So what are you saying? That water baptism shouldn't be? No, because water baptism is part of the plan of God. But however, you must see the place that water baptism is put. Water baptism was never put in a place to be number one. It was never put into place to be the main thing. In fact, I guarantee you that the highest percentage of people that goes through the water baptism do not really recognize nor know or understand that water baptism has a symbolic representation. And if you knew what it symbolically represents, hallelujah, then you would get why I'm telling you that the water baptism is not the main thing. The main thing is what Christ did for you, and you accepting that, accepting him, and letting that word transform your life to a new and living way. You understand what I'm saying? That's the most important thing. That's why you got so many people getting water baptized, but still living like sinners. That's why you got so many people getting water baptized and never took a break from the sinful life they've been living. Why? Part of that, I have to say, I have to blame the ministry. And notice I said part. I did not say all, okay? Now you say, well, why is it part you blame the ministry? Because the ministry have failed to teach people to show them and to preach unto them the true overall greater importance. But many of our churches are saying the doors of the church are open, giving an invitation for people to join the church, but we're not fully teaching them the greater importance. And we have become so wrapped up in getting members in the church that we have forgot to preach the true gospel and teach the true gospel to that soul. And so now some of these souls thinking, because they've been dumped in water, I'm good. I'm automatically go to heaven. And they have no change of life whatsoever. Some people are getting baptized and have not really accepted Christ as Lord. There has been no conversion in the heart, but they're being baptized in the water. And many churches are grinning and smiling. Why? Because they have become a member. Because in many of your churches, more members you get, more money come down the collection plate. Once again, Brother Nate is not holding that back from you. I have to say that because it is automatic truth, okay? So the Bible tells us, verse 34, that the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? So he asked Philip, he said, I want to know. You know, many people read the word of God, but that don't mean they understand it. See, you got people stuck on just reading, okay? And when you talk to them about study, they'll tell you, oh, I read every night. Well, let's think about it. Maybe they're telling you the truth. But just because they're reading it doesn't mean they understand it. Reading is a part of study. Study involves reading, it involves meditating, and it involves searching. All three factors combined, not just reading. Anybody can read the scripture and at the same time not understand it. Do you get what I'm saying? So this eunuch is expressing and letting Philip know, I'm reading this thing, but I don't know who this prophet is talking about. So this Ethiopian eunuch is humbling himself before Philip, okay? He's humbling himself before Philip. Amen. He's not in pride saying, hey, I get somebody. I don't need your help. Okay? Because, you know, you have people that's like that. They, you know, knowing that they don't understand the scripture, but their pride is so strong, they don't want to let you know they don't understand. And they'll cut it off. Oh, I'm all right. I was just reading. I was just looking in there. They don't want to tell you, you know, that, hey, I really don't understand this. And I don't know who the scripture is talking about. And see, you can begin to see the purpose of why the Spirit of the Lord told Philip to join himself to that chariot. Because the Lord wanted to use Philip to expound or to reveal to this eunuch who the scripture is talking about. Okay? Verse 35 says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So he is revealed to the eunuch that who the prophet is talking about is Jesus. Why are we told that? Because once again, the main thing is Christ. And a person getting to know Christ, amen, accepting him, and once again, letting that word transform their life to a new and living way. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 10 that the Lord has consecrated unto us, Jesus did, a new and living way. You get that? Jesus don't want us to live the same old way. He don't want us to come to him and live the same old way before we came to him. That would defeat the purpose, okay? Because that way we live set us on a course to hell. And Jesus, listen, like the brother told you, Jesus talked about so much about hell in the scriptures. Why is that? Because he don't want nobody to go there. You know, Jesus don't want people going to hell. You understand what I'm saying? He don't want nobody lost. Bible says he would it all with
will come to repentance and not perish. So that's why he talked about hell the way he did. And what really sometimes bothers me about some Christians is that they don't want you to tell people about hell. They want to just stay on heaven. Now, ain't nothing wrong with talking about heaven. We should talk about heaven, okay? But that ain't the only place. So why should I talk about one place knowing that if the person don't receive the person, the one they need to receive it as Christ to go to that place, and that they be, and that they die having rejected Christ, then there's another place they're going. Listen, the fullness of the gospel has not been preached or taught. And the truthfulness of the word has not been fully taught. And you got people, like I said, who've been water baptized, ain't saved, okay? But they think they finna bust the pearly gates wide open. And once again, part of the reason, not the whole reason. Hear what I'm saying? Because I'm not going to put everything on the ministry. Some of it's the people. Some of them you try to teach people, and people won't take the time to learn. They won't take the time to show up on time. They won't take the time to come when it's time to come. None of that. Well, God did not tell you to go to somebody's house and drag them to service. God did not tell you to try to make somebody available. That's the soul, individual soul choice, okay? But, however, on the part of the ministry, they have not fully preached or taught to people the full plan of the Lord and how that water baptism is symbolic. It only has a part in the plan, but was never put to be the main thing. In other words, baptism in the scriptures is never shown to be the number one thing you need to do to be saved and go to heaven. They didn't show that. But you got so many churches who have overemphasized water baptism. And I mean to, my God, to a great degree. Okay? I mean, sometimes when they minister to a soul, you hear more about water baptism being baptized in that conversation than a little bit. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. And so, the Bible lets us know that now Philip is preaching Jesus to him. Once again, people, that's the main thing, the preaching of Christ. Listen, I've said it before and I say it again. Believers, get ready. You finna be tested. Some of you say, well, I'm already being tested. Well, I'm not going to say you're not, but a greater testing comes. You know what that test going to be? You're going to be directly approached. Because the way this time is going now that we're living in, and the way things are going now, even in this nation, number one person to be hated is going to be Jesus. I'm telling you, the number one faith that's going to be looked at and frowned upon is the faith of Jesus Christ. And you're going to be confronted by associates, by friends, by family members, by husbands, by wives, by children, to say, do you believe in this Jesus that these so-called Christians is talking about? And it ain't going to be no time for your knees to be knocking together. I'm telling you, you better get ready. Now, some of you who's listening with your chest poked out and thinking, come on, bring it on, I'm ready. Okay, I pray that you are. Because when you actually in the midst of it, things are different than when you ain't and you talking, okay? Some of you, in a sense, physically, you can't stand to be alone. Well, the devil going to come testing that area, because when he starts sending those folks your way, you know, the folks that you have to always have around you, and they start asking you, do you believe in this Jesus that these Christians talking about? And now the threat comes to you that they will leave you. You're going to be tested. And if you are so connected to having to have people be around you, now get this, Brother Nate is not saying it's something wrong with people being around you. But there are some people, they have to have people around. They can't stand. Now, when I say be alone, if you say you ain't really alone, but I'm talking about in the physical sense now. And some people can't take it. So they got to have people around her. And so what happens when you're like that, you put yourself in a predicament where you will begin to willing to compromise truth just to keep a company of people. Do you get what I'm saying? So that day is coming, okay? I know some of you say, I'm being tried already. Well, you may be. But this area I'm telling you about is coming, okay? See, right now, you still can run out in the street, and you can say this, and people may think you crazy. Even the police are passing by, look at you funny. But you can go out there and say it with a loud voice, I love Jesus. Everybody needs to be saved, okay? And you won't have to worry about for now, and I say now, a police slammed on the brakes, getting out the car with his club and hitting you side of the head, in the chest and in the back, and then his partner with him grabbing you and throwing you in the back of the police car. You ain't got to worry about that right now. You ain't got to worry about them taking you to jail. You say, officer, what have I done? What's my offense? You're talking about Jesus. You're talking about everybody need to accept Jesus. Now, see, some of y'all think I'm far-fetched when I say that, but that's what we're coming to. You may think, now, you may be listening and think, say, hey, no, we're not. That's just, I don't think that could happen. Well, guess what? This is what I say to you. Buckle up your seatbelts. Hold on. The ride is coming. Okay? Amen. So the Bible said that Philip began to preach Jesus unto him. Now, verse 36, it says, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What don't hinder me to be baptized? Now, we on our main subject. So they come to a certain water. And the eunuch asked them, and said, here is water. What's stopping me from being baptized? Now, from what we read here, we're not told, how did he know about water baptism? Well, he could have been told about it as he came to Jerusalem. But however, now that he had been preached Christ to, Christ has been preached to him by Philip. But yet still, when it comes to a certain group of water they had, he thinking that, okay, it's time for me to be baptized, okay? And he asking, what's stopping me? What's hindering me? What's the hold up? What's in the way? What's keeping me from being baptized? What's keeping me from being baptized and for the baptism to be valid? What's stopping it? Amen. Verse 37 said, and Philip said, if thou believest with how much of your heart? He said, all of it, not some of it. He said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. But what was the hindrance? It was a spiritual prospect first. See, the faith and repentance, listen. The faith and repentance have to be exercised first, people. Now, notice something. He had preached Jesus to him. And see, many people have had Jesus preached to them, but they haven't accepted him. You understand what I'm saying? You think, some of you think just because you said, when you actually said, is so-and-so say, well, yeah, the Lord been preached, they preached Jesus, he know about Jesus, okay, but did he accept him? Now, I just took a pause for to let that sink in. Because, see, when you preach Jesus, that's what all you can do. Now, it's up to the individual soul that you're preaching to accept it by what? Believing, having faith on, and repenting. It's up to the individual. Now, there are going to be people who have heard the gospel. But guess what? They ain't going to believe it. They ain't going to accept it. So preaching and people hearing this part of it, they have to believe. So this man had Jesus preached to him. And when he sees some water, he thinking that, okay, I should go and be baptized. But see, sometimes in the minute, well, there's times in the ministry, see, we're also here to help people out when they're short on understanding. Now, once again, Don't take this out of text, and I think I'm trying to tell you the ministry understand everything. No, we don't, okay? But what I'm saying is this. That's one of our jobs in the ministry is to help people. And when they short on understanding about the plan of God, we have to give them the part where they short on. Now, this man, this eunuch, it just been preached to him, Jesus. Okay? But now he sees some water, and he thinking, okay, I should be baptized. So he said, what's stopping me from being baptized? And so Philip let him know. What else Philip would tell him? Philip would let him know, said, if I baptize you right now without you really believing, this water baptism wouldn't even be valid. And today you got many people who've been water baptized. That water baptism ain't valid in the sight of God. Why? Because they hadn't accept Christ as Lord. I come out with all their heart. Okay? And some of us in the ministry, we just picking up folks and just dumping them in the water. Because I really feel at home at this church, and I want to make this my home church. And now the pastor getting all excited and he's jumping around, you know, like a child that's full of sugar. Okay? He's jumping all around and oh, we sure like to have you as a member. And next thing you know, Pastor Joe is picking up that individual and kabloosh. He's dumping him in the water. Then he's throwing the title, brother or sister, to him. When this person have not expressed to the people as a witness that he or she have received Christ as Lord. They may have had Jesus preach to them. See, that's the part God said the servant do, or the one he sent, is to preach Christ. The other part rests on the person, on the individual that's being preached to. So even though Philip preached Jesus to him, accordingly, he hadn't done the necessary requirement that is needed to even make his water baptism valid. What? He said, if thou believest, thou may. And he answered what? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe. Okay? He had to confess it. What Romans 10 say? With the heart, man believing unto righteousness. With the heart, man believing unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made to salvation. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. And so you got people that have been water baptized, and they don't really want to confess and accept Christ as Lord. Why? Because some of them know, that means a change in my lifestyle. And so you got some people, they don't want to change the lifestyle, okay? They just want to join the church. You got some people that got all these, what do I call, recognitions. They are Phi Beta, Beta Phi Beta, whatever, in a sorority, in a fraternity. And then one of the things to add to the resume is to say, I'm a member of so-and-so church. Amen. See, that's going on a resume, okay? Because I noticed that when I've read, like, the eulogy of people's funerals, if they had all these degrees and stuff, whatever they put on there, all that is put on there just about, especially if they was in fraternity or sorority, all they put on there, and they was a member of so-and-so church. So for some people, that's a complete, outstanding, very noticeable, shiny resume. To say you was in a fraternity, sorority, you was in a church, you were this and that, all that, okay? Amen. So verse 38 said, and he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. So Philip did not baptize them until after he confessed that he believed in Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And see, the Lord knew concerning this eunuch's heart. And by his spirit, he sent Philip to this man. God is going to send you to people that you don't know. And he's going to send you right on time. He's going to send you at a time just like with Philip. You may be walking up and they may be reading the scripture and don't understand what they're reading. And God is using you there to expound. He's going to send some of you in times like that. He's going to send some of you to those who really want to know the truth. Maybe they're going about certain things the wrong way, but God know their heart that if they were to get the word of truth, that it will bring a change. God is going to send you to some of those people. But once again, if the spiritual acts is not done first with truthfulness of heart, water baptism don't mean a thing, okay? And I say this again, water baptism won't mean a thing, okay? You get that? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the Bible said when they will come up out of the water, the spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. See, that was the assignment that God, the Lord Jesus Christ had Philip do. It was the what? To preach salvation to him. Okay? And some of you are going to be sent to the areas. That's going to be your main thing. To preach Christ to them. And once you do that, then God is going to send you on somewhere else. Remember when Philip went to Samaria? What did he do? He preached Christ, got the people saved, and what? Now it's time to go. But see, the Samaritans hadn't received the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Not water baptism, I ain't talking about. They did. They was water baptized, but they hadn't received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So the Lord had the brothers, the apostles, them come and lay hands so they may receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, some of you may say, well, how come, you know, Philip, you were there. How come he had Philip to do it? Well, he had Philip to do the assignment he had. Now, could Philip, by faith, exercise? He could have. But see, he was following the assignment, and the assignment of the Lord was for him to just to preach Christ to the people, get them to accept the Lord, be converted and saved, and go on. The Lord has someone else who will come behind to help the people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because God's not going to have you there doing, quote, everything. He got other people. Everybody has a role to play, okay? And I think sometimes we have a problem with that. We fussing and fighting. You got Christians. You got some think the evangelists don't do nothing. Or the prophet don't do nothing. Oh, evangelists got an easy job. Prophet got an easy job. Pastor got an easy job. Being the pastor ain't nothing. You know, I hear all this stuff. Let me tell you something. Because like the job I work on now, some of the earthly job here, you got people that talks like that and act like that. They act like your job ain't nothing. Their job is the best. It's the toughest. It's the hardest. You got it easy. And I've told people my job. Everybody got something challenging on the work they do. See, sometimes we're on the outside looking in. We're looking at people do certain things, and to you it may look like, hey, look like they sitting down a lot of times, or they don't hardly move much or something like that. And now you're thinking to yourself, oh, that job they do, that ain't nothing. Well, you haven't been around in their testing and challenging time. Like on my job, what I do is cut steel, okay? And I have gotten enough knowledge to know what jobs will be easy for me, what wouldn't, what jobs I can run and be kind of, you know, relax a little bit on. And then there's some jobs that I can't. Some jobs just keep me standing in front of the saw, okay? Some jobs usually just have me what you want to call continuous running. But then there are other jobs I have which are called long jobs that, you know, you would be on one particular job for a long time, you know. Amen. Some jobs are like that. Okay. Amen. Glory to God. So
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for the word of the Lord. Amen. And so Philip, and the Bible said that the eunuch, when Philip was called away, that the eunuch saw him no more. And like I said, some people God's going to see you to, you're going to see them that time, and after that, you may see them no more. That's why you got to make use of the assignment and the time that you've been given to do the assignment. Got to make use of it, okay? Amen. Because God will have you doing that, then he have another assignment for you to do. He tells us in the Lord did through his angel, the Elijah, he tells us many times that it is a time of haste. So when the Lord tells you, hey, I want you to go join yourself to this person, that person, you need to go on and do it. Okay? It's a time of haste. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for the power of the Spirit of the living God. Amen? Amen. And for some people that hear this message, they might go, oh, man, and might turn a deaf ear because you want everything to be all right because you've been baptized in water. So you thinking that I'm finna bust the heavenly gates wide open while you sitting there selling drugs, you know, smoking crack, sleeping with anyone or everyone, getting drunk every day, but you think that because you've been baptized in water and that you're a member of the church, okay, that you still finna, quote, bust heaven wide open. Well, this is why this word, one of the reasons why this word has come out to you today. Because I know many of you don't know any better. You are in ignorance about that. It have not been totally told to you, nor explained to you, nor preached to you. But see, one thing about the Lord is he love you, and he made sure that the word of truth comes out to you. Hallelujah. So you Phillips that's listening, there's no time for playing games, okay? And like I said, you may have been dealing with people that you trying to give them the word they don't want to hear. They don't want to show up to where you speaking at. They have come. Some don't show. Or to those of you who's trying to teach people the word, they don't want to hear. They feel like you can't teach them nothing and all that. Don't worry about it. God has some people who's willing and ready to hear the word. You get in a place to hear from the Lord that the Lord may direct you where to go. Because God is not going to have you sitting there wasting time all the time with people that don't want to know. Now, I know people say, and that just sound harsh, Brother Nate. No, I'm going to be straight up with you, okay? Jesus loves you. You may at times reject Jesus, per se, by saying you don't want to know the word. But you can't do that forever, and God still hang around. Now, I'm just going to tell you that right now. Because one day going to come where you're going to say, I don't want to hear it, and the Lord going to say, well, okay. I'm through trying to talk to you about it. You've made your decision. Once that happens, listen to these words. It is over for you, point blank. Brother Nate can't save you. Your mama, your granddaddy, your close cousin on your mama's side, I don't care who it is, won't be able to save you when that happens. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. The spiritual acts got to be done, and it has to be done first. Water baptism is symbolic. It is the outer showing of an inner covenant. Okay? Once again, I say like this, just like your wedding ring. Your wedding rings, the man, the husband and wife, the wedding rings you see show that it's an outward show showing that you are committed to someone. Okay, and it shows that, and it's letting you know that the proper thing was done for you two to become as one, husband and wife. So in other words, let me speak to my men. For other words, it do not count if you just walking down the street and saw this woman, run up to her and put a ring on her finger and say, this is my wife. That don't work like that, okay?
Y'all did not go through the proper ceremony. Therefore, you're perpetrating a lie. That is what happened also when you get water baptized and you have not made that covenant with Christ. You're perpetrating a lie. When you have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, you are perpetrating a lie. Okay? Hallelujah. You hadn't made no inner covenant with Christ, then when you get water baptized, you're perpetrating a lie. All you doing is, quote, joining yourself to the church. But also symbolic is saying that you made a covenant with Christ, which you didn't. To die with him and to raise with him. That's in the covenant. Well, if you ain't accept Christ as Lord, then that ain't happen. So you're perpetrating a lie. So once again, women, you just can't go look at any man and say, hey, I see you got rings on there. You know, put that on a finger. And he put it on and said, oh, I'm your wife. It don't work like that. Y'all ain't went through no ceremony perpetrating a lie. Okay? That's one of the reasons, another one of the reasons, too, I have against what they call the common law of marriage. Common law of marriage, he's been talking about no common law of marriage. You either going to be married or not. This common law, then you just go out and tell people, we're married. You ain't went through no proper ceremony that will bring y'all together as one. See, the proper ceremony you did of Jesus to bring you together as one is when you accepted him as Lord and confess and accept him as Lord. Hallelujah. Repent of your sinful life. Glory to God. That ceremony you went through, become one with Christ. But you can say amen, oh me, I don't know. Anyhow, you can say either one you want to say. But that's the truth, okay? Boy, oh boy, it's going to be some eyebrows raised in these last days when my Lord speaks and people really find out even more about his baptism. And you got some of these ministers, they don't want me to say this to you when I'm this message tonight. I didn't ruin it for many of them because some of them purposely didn't tell you guys the truth. It's not like they didn't know. Some of them know the truth about this, okay? But they hold that part from you because why? We want you to become a member so bad, okay? Because understand this, for years, churches has been what you call competing against each other, okay? I remember this was back, and I get ready to close this. This was back in 1990. Let me see. I got saved in 1990. I had this dream back in 1990. I think it was 92. And in this dream, I saw choirs competing. Yes, competing for money. I saw choirs, you know, in a dream. They was competing, like the choirs I saw were competing for like $25,000. Competing, using what's supposed to be gospel songs against one another for a competition. Say what? Yes. Now, I ask you a question that you can think on. Do you think when they was doing that, that the Lord was in heaven going, you go, boy, you go, girl, y'all making me proud, seeing that the songs that's supposed to be sung to him and about him, that supposed to be seasoned with the Spirit of God for the anointing, is used to try to win some money? Huh? And I've seen some of these choirs when they call themselves competing. They don't even sing the song right. Some of them have made some beautiful anointed song. And they take that same anointed song, and when they get on stage and start singing, they got to add, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm like, what in the world is this? I said, what is this? You don't sense no anointing, no Holy Ghost, no nothing. You just sit in front of the TV. You feel so bad, your hand automatically start reach to the knob, cut the TV off, turn the channel. You get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the word of the Lord today. I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for your goodness. And dear Lord, I ask today, Lord God, that
as I have delivered your message, that I pray that those who are listening was touched by the Spirit of the living God. I pray that you have open eyes and unstopped ears, that you have softened hearts this day through the delivering of your word. I pray that your Spirit will minister to those who are listening after I get off this broadcast and speak to them what thus says the Lord. So, Lord God, I just thank you. I just magnify you because you're worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. For all you've been listening, Lord, say the same. Look for another broadcast tomorrow in Jesus' almighty name. So, once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.